So we're going to be in Psalm chapter 39 this morning. If you have a Bible, turn there. We love being in our permanent space where you can actually see your Bibles. So I encourage you to bring a Bible. If you do not own a Bible, we will give you one as a gift. If you'll just stop in the foyer on your way out, we'd love for you to have a Bible. I'll remind you again, as I do almost every week at City Church, we are a Bible teaching church. So we're going to end 2017 teaching from the Bible, and we're going to start 2018 teaching from the Bible. I think it would be silly for me to stand up here and teach you my opinion. I really kind of want you to hear what God has to say. And so we point people to the Bible, and if I ever disagree with the book, you go with the book. So we're going to be in Psalm 39 this morning. How many of you remember the very first time that you were exposed to high-definition television? Like, wah, right? A lot of you, if you are close to my age, you know, in your, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s, if you're close is such a subjective term in that sentence. If you're close to my age, you remember that when I was growing up as a kid, obviously there was no HD TV. TV was very fuzzy. Kind of when I was a kid and a teenager, we made kind of transitions through TV. First, there was just rabbit ears on top of the TV. And then for whatever reason, if it was too fuzzy, you could apply aluminum foil to your rabbit ears. What? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me right now as it comes out of my mouth. But for some reason, aluminum foil would potentially make your TV a little clearer. Are you with me on this? From that rabbit ears transition, we transitioned to a manual antenna outside of our house that you had to turn on a pole. Like, if you're under 20 right now, you have no clue what I'm talking about. You had to turn it with a pole. And for us, that meant living room and then out the back door and then around the house. So we had to, thankfully, we had enough boys in the house. I grew up with two brothers, three boys total. We could set up a relay team where I could yell to the person at the turn to the left. He would yell to the person adjusting the antenna. And through the relay system, we could get some level of clarity. And then we evolved to an electronic turning of the antenna outside. And I always loved the sound it made. Stop! You went too far! And so that was kind of how I grew up, outside of the fact that I was the remote control, like many of you. If we wanted a channel change to one of our two or three options of channels, I was the guy responsible for getting up and changing the channel. I was the remote control until the little channel turner handle on the TV broke. And then you had to break out the needle-nose pliers to turn the channel. Some of you are so identifying with what I'm saying right now. I remember the first time I got a high-definition TV. I turned it on, and I have a big TV, and I remember watching a ball game for the first time, and I could actually see the players. I could actually see details of the field. I could watch things in high definition. It was a game changer for me. The clarity, like we don't even remember the days of fuzzy TV any longer because we live in a very high definition world. It's the difference in clarity and a lack of clarity, fuzziness, or being unclear about something. And I can tell you there are people in this room today that as you are moving into 2018, you feel like you're kind of living life with the rabbit ears. There's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of fuzziness about where you're headed. You're unsure about 2018. It's kind of blurry for you. It's kind of fuzzy for you. And you are trying to apply some aluminum foil to your life to try to get some clarity, but you're really unsure right now. There's others of you are kind of in that manual adjusting of the antenna stage. Some of you are in the wah-wah-wah-wah stage. And then some of you seem like you're living with some high definition. But I can tell you as we enter 2018, there's enough uncertainty going on in our world that we're kind of living maybe outside of HD living. And what the scriptures teaches us, the scriptures instruct us to live life with this kind of eternal focus, this eternal perspective that brings some urgency and some clarity to our lives. Now, that doesn't mean everything is crystal clear with every step that we take, right? As Jesus followers. Sometimes there is some, I don't really know what direction, that we call that faith. That we're following Jesus and there is some uncertainty. But the reality of life is that the scripture instructs us from a big picture point of view that we as Jesus followers are to live life with some certainty. We are to live life with an eternal focus on the big picture, HD eternal living. Now here's a clarifying question for us. This question brings a lot of clarity to life. If I only had 30 days to live, what would I do? Like you can fill in the blank for this. If I only had 30 days to live, I would. And I can tell you, whatever you put in the blank is clarifying for you. It's a focus. It's if I only had 30 days left, this would be what I would be focused on. This would be, and whatever, it can be different things for different people. In the blank, it may involve family, friends, getting things in order, whatever it may be, it's different for every person. But this is such a clarifying question, a clarity question. What would I do if I knew I only had 30 days to live? My older brother that I just spent some time with during Christmas, when he was in high school, one of his best friends in high school was a guy named Kerry. Kerry was a superb athlete, a very likable guy, had a lot of friends. Everybody liked Kerry. He married his high school sweetheart. They had two kids, and when he was in his early 30s, he was getting his hair cut, and the beautician noticed a lump on the back of his head, and within 1 year, Kerry had died of brain cancer. Within a year, early 30s. And I can tell you those last months of his life, he got extremely focused. Now, that's not an uncommon story, is it? When I tell the story of Kerry, you know people that have died early. You know people that have been, that they have had cancer at a young age. Ashley and I just heard this past week of a young couple that we knew out in Las Vegas that they were a very active couple. He's a Delta Force guy. I mean, he's lives, you know, he's one of these secret guys in the military. Awesome couple. Two kids, found out this week, their four-year-old has leukemia, and there was a mass in his chest that he was down to 2 millimeters of space to be able to breathe, lung capacity. If he had, they said if he had gone to sleep 2 more nights, he would have died in his sleep if they had not brought him in. 4 years old. And so they spent their Christmas holidays in the hospital with a four-year-old, bringing dad in from the other part of the world for this four-year-old with leukemia. Like we hear these stories all the time. We know people who face those type of things. We know people who die too early. When I was a pastor in Indiana, there was a 5-year-old boy in our church that they were pulling up to a friend's house, and he decided to jump out of the truck, and he jumped out just a second too early and landed the wrong way and broke his neck in the driveway and died on the spot. 5 years old. One of the most, you know, heart-wrenching moments of my life, standing at the casket of a 5-year-old. And so we hear these stories, right? We know people who die of sickness or die prematurely, even elderly people in our lives that we're not quite ready to let go. Life seems so fleeting, so brief, so transient that we are here today and gone tomorrow. And really our only guarantee in life is that it will end. That at some point our life will be over. There's no guarantee on the length of life. Now, if you're like me, we never really believe that our life is going to be cut short, do we? We never think like we're going to be one of those stories. And we for sure don't live life that way. We rarely live life as if we only have a limited amount of time. But what if we did? What if in 2018, we lived as if 2018 might be our last year? What if we lived every month, every week, every day as if it were our last? Like, what type of clarity, what type of focus, what type of intentionality would that bring to our everyday lives? And the scriptures constantly indicate and repeatedly call us to live a life aware of our own mortality, the brevity of life, not in some morbid sense of impending death, but an urgency, a sentience that impacts our lives, a clarity about life. David, who wrote Psalm chapter 39, often modeled living with an awareness of his own mortality. Now, if we know the story of David, it's largely because he was constantly on the verge of dying, like constantly being pursued by enemies. His own children tried to kill him. We all know the David and Goliath story. And so David kind of lived by default with this awareness of his own mortality. And his psalms and his prayers in the book of Psalm often illustrate this perspective. Psalm chapter 39, verse 4, look what David said. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Let me read this for you in the NLT translation, because I like how he words a couple of things in that translation. In the NLT, it's David speaking. He says, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. Remind me how fleeting my life is. David's prayer was, God, remind me. Make me know. Make me aware. Help me remember how brief life can be. You hear me say a lot, we talk about the gospel here, we preach a lot about the gospel, and the big part of the gospel is remembering. It's constantly being reminded of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And this is a gospel perspective of living. It's God, remind me how brief life is. Notice what he says here, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. That word brief carries with it the idea of a very short time, like a clap or a snapping of the fingers or the blinking of an eye, just the quick moments of life. Recognizing the brevity of life changes our perspective about life. David says, help me remember how brief life can be. Now, if you're a parent, you kind of get this perspective. If you're a parent, you get that you have a baby and then you turn around and they're driving. Like, you get that, right? Like, I, for the first time, have a child who is turning 21 next year. What? And also have a 15-month-old. But that's a whole nother story. But I can remember, some of you are like, I know your story. Some of you are like me, I can remember holding Kaylee for the first time. And now she's about to be an adult. Or is an adult, if you ask her. I have one that turned 18 that now thinks she's an adult too. Congratulations, you can buy cigarettes in Mississippi. I'm just kidding. And vote, she can vote. But as a parent, I get like child grown in a moment's time. That life seems so fleeting and so quick. And I always heard my parents and adults say those things, and then I experienced them, right? David said, remember, God, help me remember how brief my time on earth will be. And then he uses this phrase, help me remember that my days are numbered. My days are numbered. Did you know that you have a designated number of years, days, minutes, and seconds? Now, I love this illustration that we, if you're to take the average American age, which is around 75, and in this jar, there are about 3,900 beans. I didn't count them all individually because that would take just wait. My life is brief and I'm not going to spend it counting beans. But there's about 3,900 beans or so in these two jars. And what that represents is 52 weeks over 75 years gives us about 3,900 weeks to be alive. And you get why there's two jars, right? Because one represents what I have spent and one represents kind of what I have left, even though that number can change quickly. But if we're just living the average length of time, this kind of puts things in perspective for you. And for me, like, I've got less beans in my jar left than I have spent. And so that's kind of a real perspective for me, that every single week of life, that one bean moves from this jar to this, and this jar to this, and this jar to this, and they never really go back this direction, do they? Maybe God gives us a few more beans here, like we just spent time with my grandmother during the Christmas holidays, who's 93 now, so she has a few more beans in this side of her jar, but the reality is this is what is real for most of us. This is what we have left, and this is what we've spent. And some of you are like this, right? Some of you, this is what you've spent, and this is what you have left. Some of you feel like you own the world. You've spent this and feel like you've got this left, but it doesn't really matter where you're at on the jar perspective. Every single week, one bean moves from the next. And David says, I want to be reminded that my days are numbered, that I have a designated number of years, days, moments in life. And then he says, remember how fleeting my life is. That word fleeting means transient. It means momentary. This is one of my favorite props that I like to keep near me. Actually, when we were moving, I had misplaced this, and we just found it again last night. It's like, where is my hourglass? And so I found this, one of my favorite props, because it reminds me constantly that time is fleeting, that time is moving. And this actually is an hourglass, which means it's an hour of time. So when all this sand runs out, I'll be done preaching. There you go. If the only thing you're going to look at and hear now is that we're not even halfway through the sand. Average Sunday. Right? My life is fleeting, transient, momentary, here and gone, like sand in an hourglass. So David says, God, I want to remember how brief on earth my time will be. I want to remember that my days are numbered. I want to remember how fleeting my life is. Remind me of those things. And then look what he says in verse 5. Behold, you, God, have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. This idea of hand breaths is the equivalent of four fingers in that culture. It's one of the smallest units that you can, by which things are measured. And so David said, I want to be reminded that my life is a hand breath. It's a small moment. Our life is but a moment before an eternal God. It's a hand breath. It's a small measuring unit before an eternal God. One of the most fascinating creatures is the mayfly. If you have no time on your hands, want to do something that is kind of make you feel smart, read about a mayfly. Mayflies can live a few days, or they can live literally a few moments. Most of you have probably seen them around the swampy areas outside of Decatur. They basically are fish food, but they have a very fascinating life cycle. They live only a few hours most of the time, maybe a few days. And we in eternity are really just mayflies. We are here for a moment in time. Yeah, but here's our tendency. Here's our tendency. I need some help. Dave, can I trust you if I ask you to help me? Oh, Reagan, my daughter, my adult daughter. Stretch out the rope. Our lives are a moment in time. Let's make it straight. There we go. Our lives are a moment in time. If this rope represents eternity, which if it did, it would be infinite, right? But you can get the illustration just from the length of this rope. And our lives are but a handbreadth, a moment in time in all of eternity. You know what our tendency is? Our tendency is to focus on the ribbon. Our tendency is to focus on the red. Our tendency is to focus on this blip of time in all of eternity, because this is our life, and this is where our eyes tend to go. This is where our focus tends to be. This is we tend to live life just focused on the small moment in time, the ribbon of life, when we have all of eternity. And the scripture constantly calls us to live life focused on the rope and not on the ribbon, to focus on eternity and not just the moment, to not make decisions based on the moment, to not get our focus on just the moment, to not hoard our money like we're living for the moment, to not live our lives as if everything hinged on the moment, to build relationships on the rope, not just on the moment. But our tendency is for our eyes to always be on the ribbon and never on the rope. Thank you to my volunteers. There's no prize. If you want a bean, you can have a bean. If you want to take a year, a week away from my life, you can have a bean. David said that my life is like a hand breadth. It is measured on the rope of eternity. And then he uses the phrase, it's a mere breath. Like when you came in this morning, the air is cold enough to see your breath. But guess what? Your cold air breath that you can see doesn't linger, does it? It doesn't stay in the air. It's there and then it's gone. David said, I am a mere breath. I am gone in a moment's time. Then look at the illustration he uses in verse 6. Surely a man goes about as a shadow, Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. So he says, we're like a shadow. We're a shadow. We're a phantom. We're a ghost. When you see your own shadow, it's not something that's going to stay. It's not something that's going to be there. It's not something you can interact with or have a conversation with or build a relationship with. It is a shadow. It's gone. It's a ghost. It's a moment of time. There's no lasting substance to it. So let me put things in perspective for you. My place on the scale of importance is that I'm a shadow. I'm here and then gone. Because the reality of earth is that billions of people live and die, and only a very few are remembered by only a very few. That's our reality, isn't it? That we're a shadow. Now, obviously, God's love is that personal, and that even though you're a shadow, God has poured out his unconditional love on you. But sometimes we get so focused on making a name for ourselves when we are a mere shadow that'll be forgotten tomorrow. We are focused on the ribbon instead of the rope. And I love the words that David uses here. He says, for nothing we are in turmoil. You ever feel rushed? You ever feel like you're living in the turmoil? Is it worth the craziness? We live busy lives that result in nothing eternal. So we get something bigger and better and fancier. So what? We're a shadow. Here today, gone tomorrow. Is it worth it? Is it worth the focus, the energy, the neglect? Is it worth it for nothing, David says, for nothing we are in turmoil. We're busy and crazy over nothing. And then look, I love how he ends this. He says we are accumulating wealth for other people. We're accumulating stuff that will be others. Life chasing after the wind, accumulating stuff for others to spend or throw away. Your house will no longer be your house at some point. The car that you drive will be driven by someone else or parked in the junkyard. I have a Honda Accord that I bought in 2005. It was a 2003 Honda Accord. I bought it in 2005 and drove it for a while. Passed it to Kaylee when she was 16. Passed it to Reagan when she was 16. 190,000 miles on my Honda Accord. And this week, I sold it for virtually nothing to someone else. It became their Honda, became their car. It left the Hudson family and moved on. Somehow Zach got out of having to drive it. But it moved on. I wanted to keep it for Levi. Are you kidding me? My car became someone else's car. And we spend so much time accumulating stuff that other people will spend or throw away. We are Christmas. My grandmother, who's 93 and is living in kind of a help a facility where people help her. What's that called? Assisted living. She's living there. So what's happening back at her house and my parents' house is like we're accumulating all the stuff, right? Like this was Mamaw's blanket and quilt and Santa Claus's and all this stuff. And like now it's not going to be Mamaw's. It's going to be yours or the grandkids. So there's like this giant, I don't know, I would call it an auction. Hey, we're going to auction off Mamaw's blankets. Who's coming out of the hat first? Ashley, you get to choose a blanket. Accumulating other people's stuff. Whatever we have, whatever is ours, is really going to be someone else's. And David said, we are so focused on the temporary. We are focused on gathering junk for someone else while what is eternal is being ignored or deprioritized. Now, think back to our question, our statement. If I had only 30 days, would I really be shuffling around trying to buy more or upgrade stuff that does not matter in the end? What are we saying? Are you saying, Devin, that we should sell everything and move to the beach and just wait for death to come? No. What we're talking about and what we're discussing really is trust. Where does my hope lie? In what, in whom do I trust? Do I believe? Do I hope? And here's David's answer after laying all this out for us. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? What's David saying? Should we pack it all in and move to the beach and just wait to die? For what do I wait? My hope is in you. Where do I place my hope? Not in myself. I'm a shadow. I'm a mist. I'm a breath. Not in my mortality. My days are numbered, David said. Not in my stuff. I'm accumulating other people's junk. And if you place your hope in these areas, you will be disappointed. The living illustration of this in Scripture is Solomon. The man who owned everything and had all of the wealth and all of the women and all of the wisdom and all of the power and all of the glory. And if you read his biography in Ecclesiastes, he said it is all in vain. It is meaningless. It is life chasing after the wind. He had everything that we spend all of our time and energy and money trying to get. And he says, let me give you a heads up. You can spend all of your time, energy, and money pursuing everything that I have, but in the end, it means nothing. David says, my hope is in God and God alone. Where are we placing our hope, our trust? My hope is in God alone. Why? Because God is the opposite of everything that we have described. He is eternal. He will not fade. He is immortal. He's the eternal, eternal I am. He is unchanging. And high definition living, HD living, begins from a gospel perspective. The reminder that life is brief and God is really big. God is sovereign. He is the only sure foundation upon which to build my temporary life. Isn't that what the gospel story is about? That Jesus entered the chaos. He entered the chaos that is marked by insecurity. He entered the chaos that is marked by a lack of clarity. He entered the chaos that is marked by the uncertainty of life. That Jesus entered the mess, that he entered the chaos to offer clarity and security and certainty. Jesus came and entered our space. He entered the chaos. He is a person in whom we can place our hope. Jesus came to be the person, the source upon which we can rest. And Jesus modeled this focused living as he set his eyes on the cross, knowing that he was here to die, to provide, to offer. So no matter what happens in 2018, God is in control. He can be trusted. My hope is in him alone, David says. I will live each day in Jesus and for Jesus. What does that look like in everyday life? Let me just mention a couple of things. I would encourage you as we head into 2018, HD living means living life in the now and not the when. We tend to say when I have, when I get, when I obtain, when I arrive, when I have this job, when I have this amount of money, when I have this home, when I get, and we tend to live life focused on the when and not on the now. My life is brief. God, remind me day by day that life is short and God is sovereign. Help me to live in the now of relationship. Help me to live in the now of relationship with my God, with my family, with my spouse. Help me to live in the now and not be so focused on the when that I miss the moment. I don't know if you're a resolution person. A lot of people are not resolution people. I'm not a huge resolution person, but I do some resolutions. And one of my resolutions I've been thinking through the last several days is I want to spend less screen time and more FaceTime. Not like FaceTime like, hey, I'm going to FaceTime you, but FaceTime like FaceTime with God, FaceTime with Ashley, FaceTime with my kids, FaceTime with a book. I want to spend less screen time. Like, we're all about the screen, aren't we? Man, I can scroll through and find out what's happening in everybody else's life quickly and not be focused on the gospel in my life. Live in the now and not the when. Live each day as if it could be my last. Live with this eternal perspective that life is brief, life is fleeting. Help me to live with the 30-day mentality that if this is my last week, if this is my last month, if this is my last year, what should I be focused on? And then I want to live out each and every day resting in who Jesus is, resting in God. My hope is in him, finding my identity in Jesus, not finding my identity in the bigger, the better, the more, the upgrade, buying this, having this, obtaining this, this status, not living my life resting in things that cannot bring me hope and security. My hope is in God and God alone, David says. My life is fleeting. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. I can measure it with the smallest units of time. My days are numbered. Where am I going to place my hope? Not in stuff. It's going to be someone else's. My hope is in God alone, David says. I mentioned earlier our friend Carrie, before Carrie died. It was amazing that his life became laser focused. It did not mean that he stopped living life, but he stopped living life in a way that did not matter beyond the grave. You know why? He knew his days were numbered. And it changed the way he lived everyday life. It changed the way they interacted with his spouse, with his kids, with his friends. It changed the way, it changed his walk with Jesus. It changed everything about his life. A life became laser focused. And I have asked myself, what if we could live that way all the time? What if we could live life aware of our own mortality? That our days are numbered. That we don't have to wait for the diagnosis to have our perspective changed. What if we could live life with that perspective now, knowing my life is brief, my hope is in God alone? How would that affect my relationship with God? How would that affect my relationship with my family? How would it affect my relationship with my friends, with my coworkers? How would it impact my spending choices, my time investments, my career focus? What if I lived like I am dying? Not in a Tim McGraw kind of way, but from an eternal perspective. To live life aware of our own mortality. What if I live life as if I believed life is brief and God is sovereign? My hope is in you. I'm thankful that in 2018, I'm not always going to get it right. That when I don't get it right, Jesus is there to pick me up. Jesus is there to embrace me in his love. That every single day in 2018, I'm going to wake up with a fresh awareness of how much I need the gospel, to preach the gospel to myself every single day, that I am his, that I am not condemned in him, knowing that it is in him where my hope lies. Where my faith is, where my confidence is. I don't know what 2018 is going to bring to you. I don't know how uncertain, how unclear, how fuzzy, how rabbit ear antenna your life may seem going into 2018, but I do know that there is one source, there is one foundation upon whom we can build our lives. Wake up call. Life is brief. God is sovereign. Where are we going to put our trust? Where are we going to put our hope? Where are we going to put our confidence? In Jesus and Jesus alone.